Hello, it's Christine. I'm sitting with Ava Lees. And Ava is a sickening colour of brown. It's January, there's frost outside, and she's as brown as a berry, looks absolutely glowing with health.
Thank you.
Where have you just come back from?
I've just come back from seeing David in Australia.
Now, David's your husband, Dave Lees?
Yes.
Yeah. Why have you been to Australia?
David's on the Round the World Clipper Race. He left on the 31st of August last year, and he sailed down to Rio and had a few days in Rio. It took them quite a long time to get
there.
Was
he South America?
South America, yeah. Yes.
So was it about 30 days?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a long time. I think he was absolutely exhausted when he got there. He actually sent me a few texts, but they can't get in touch with you while they're actually at sea because there's no contact. And then they spent a few days in Rio, and then from Rio they went round to South Africa, which was another long trip, a few days. How many did we say?
We said 18.
18 days to South Africa. He thought South Africa was absolutely beautiful. They stayed near the coast, but he actually did a trip inland to some other different places, and he couldn't believe the difference between the coast and inland, the way the people lived. But he was well impressed
with not the lifestyle.
No, not the lifestyle. No. But he said Cape Town was absolutely beautiful. And then they left Cape Town and headed then for Albany in Western Australia. And
that didn't take as long as I thought.
No.
Was it 23 days?
Yes. It seems a lot longer, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes. Yeah, because you're going across this Indian Ocean.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it was, they saw all sorts of animals, whales.
Sea creatures.
Sea creatures. They actually got up one morning and there was an albatross on the boat. Just popped in for a little bit of a landing, and there were squid stuck all over the boat where the waves had come crashing over. David actually got hit in the back with a flying fish. He thought somebody had thrown something at him. It happened to be a fish. So,
I've been hurt by, punched by a dog or something like
that. Yeah, but not a
fish.
Yeah, so yeah. It was quite an exciting trip.
Yeah.
A bit frightening, I think, because the ocean was just horrific, really. Well, I wouldn't have done it, but...
Yeah.
Anyway...
We better explain that David is actually in a race.
Yes.
Now, this race has got...
There are 12 yachts. There are 20... crew on each yacht, but the only professional one is the skipper. And David's skipper happens to be a lady called Wendy Tuck, and she's actually Australian. So, but they're getting on, everybody's getting on well together. That's the main thing, isn't it? There are only 9 round-the-worlders on David's boat. The others, they are doing different legs.
Yeah.
Some stay on for 2 or 3 legs, and others are just doing one leg and then going home. Some are doing a couple of legs, going home, and then going back again to do another couple of legs.
It's a big commitment.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I know David's retired.
Yeah, yeah.
But some of them will be a lot younger than he is.
Oh, yeah, from 18. Some of them are 18. And I think the oldest is about 67. And he's not on David's boat, but...
But he's not called David on the boat.
No, he's called Pops.
Why?
Well, they all asked for nicknames when they went on. What's your nickname? And David couldn't really think of anything, so he just said Popeye. So they've shortened it to Pops, which now I think refers to his age, rather than being Popeye. But that's if anybody's talking about Pops, everybody knows, oh, it's David. They left Cape Town and then they got to Albany, which is Western Australia. And that's more like where you would think Captain Cook landed. It's very oldy worldy, very small. He said it's absolutely beautiful. And they had tours round there, he said, and they actually went into a person's house and had a meal with them. They said, oh, come on in and you must have a meal with us, you know. And it was, he said, everybody was just so friendly. He said it was incredible. So they were quite reluctant to leave there because, of course, you've got the beautiful weather as well. So when it's really cold over here. Anyway, they left Albany and then they had to sail round to Sydney, which was a long trip. It was 28 days, but they had to go underneath Tasmania. I thought they would have gone through the Tasmanian Straits in between Australia and Tasmania, but they had to go around the bottom and up to Sydney. So that was a long trip, was that. They arrived in Sydney, I think around on the 13th or 14th of December. And my son and myself, we flew over to Australia to meet David there. We got in on the 18th. So we spent a few days with David. He had to go to meetings and things, but we managed to see him for a while.
I want to interrupt.
Go on then.
What did he smell like?
Oh, he'd managed to have a shower. Shower before I met him.
Explain why I'm asked that question.
But while they're on the boat, they could use baby wipes. That's the only thing they had to wash with. They could have one shower a week in seawater. But other than that, and I think they were only allowed 5 baby wipes as well, so you couldn't have too many. But apparently one time when it rained, the people who weren't actually working on the boat, all those that were supposed to be on the other shift, they all came out in the costumes and things and had a shower in the rain.
Better than baby wipes.
Oh, definitely, definitely.
I've spoiled your floor. You and Stuart went out, didn't
you? Stuart and I went out to Sydney to meet him. And we had a few days with him. And we actually sailed on the yacht that David's on. Da Nang, it's called, is the yacht. And it's sponsored by Vietnam.
Well, hang on, you better explain that each time they go into port... After about each leg of the thing, they have to service the boat, don't they?
Yes, they have to totally empty the boat, make sure everything's still in working order, and then restock it all. And they have engines in the boat, but they're only used for emergencies. So they have to have fuel on board. So when they've finished the race into one place, they're still out at sea, and then they have to go in to the port using their engines. So they all have to be refueled and everything. And the skipper, Wendy, she said to David, your family's over here. And he said they were. And she said, would they like a ride on the boat? So he said, I'm sure they would. So the boat had gone round to another moorings to be refueled. And so Stuart, myself, my granddaughter Sophia, who lives in Australia, she'd come up to meet us from Melbourne. And we all walked round to this other moorings and got on the boat and we sailed back under power. We didn't have the sails up and we actually sailed under the Sydney Harbour Bridge and round by the Opera House and back round to Rushcutter Bay where the fleet was moored. And it was absolutely fabulous doing that, going under Sydney Harbour Bridge. The size of it is just colossal.
What an experience.
I know, yes, it was fabulous. Yeah. And then David left there on... Oh, I'll just tell you about Christmas Day first. We actually had Christmas Day on Manly Beach. It was probably about 34 degrees, which is in the 90s here.
Christmas Day here, it rained, it never stopped and caused the floods.
Yeah.
Boxing Day...
The Boxing Day floods.
Christmas Day here.
Yeah.
It was dire.
Well, we were on the beach in 90 degrees and having a picnic. It was absolutely beautiful. So back to the sailing.
this racing then, has he won any races?
Oh, of course, I never mentioned that, did I? From Sydney, when they left Sydney on the 26th, Boxing Day, they were in the Sydney Hobart race, which is an international race. There was over 134 yachts taking part in the race.
Now, international race.
Yes, international race.
So the top dogs from
everywhere. Yes. Actually, Sir Robin Knox Johnson had a boat in it as well. He was sailing himself down there. Not on one of the clippers, on a different one. There were all different classes of boats. There were some 90-footers. Clipper race, the boats are 70-foot. And there were smaller ones as well. 38 of them had to come out of the race because they were damaged in some way. One of the big yachts which was expected to win, I think it was called Wild Oats, that had a sail ripped the first couple of days out and they had to retire. And so the Clipper race carried on, and there were, like I say, 12 yachts, and David's boat, Danang, they came first. They won the race. Well, you can imagine what he was like. He was like a dog with two tails.
but didn't he also win his class or something?
Yeah, they won their, yeah, they won the Clipper race, and they won their class for 70-foot yachts. So it was absolutely over the moon. And the ambassador from Da Nang, Vietnam, he sent them a note saying how proud he was and pleased with them. The premier of Tasmania, she came and congratulated them all. They were in the newspapers, they were on the television, so he was absolutely thrilled to bits.
And was Robin Knox Johnson in the same class?
Oh, he will have been, but I didn't...
And beaten by one of his humbles.
I didn't hear anything about him at all, I don't know.
Well done.
Yeah, yeah.
That's absolutely...
Yeah, so they were really, really suited.
That's absolutely brilliant.
So, and then they left Hobart to go up to the Whitsundays, which is Airlie Beach. It's near Queensland, and I believe it's absolutely beautiful. A lot of little islands, all sandy beaches, and they spent a few days there, and then they left there on the 18th of this month, and they're on the way now to Da Nang in Vietnam.
And you were already on your way back?
Yes, here. We left Australia on the 13th. We just had a couple of weeks there with my granddaughter, and then we left on the 13th to come home.
Right, so if your Auntie Pauline is listening...
Oh, she will be.
Yes. Right, if Auntie Pauline's listening, you found out that you're one of your... Is it cousins?
He will be my cousin. He's Auntie Pauline's grandson, Paul Burke, it's called. He actually is involved with the Clipper race down in South Gosport. And he actually was on some of the training boats when David was doing his training. David wasn't actually with Paul, but he was one of the skippers who were training the amateur sailors to go around the world.
Right, Auntie Pauline, you're listening, I know. Well, you've had a lovely mention there, and your grandson as well. That's wonderful. When you were describing some of the positions that he drinks his tea in, you were laid almost horizontal on my settee.
Yes, yes.
Pretending to drink your tea. Because I think, as far as I can work out, they are racing, aren't they?
Yes,
yes. Much of the time.
24 hours a day.
They're racing all
the
time.
Yeah.
So when you're racing, you want the maximum sail exposed to the wind.
Yes.
And so you have to, I call it lying out.
Where
you harness, you know, you clip on.
Yes, yeah. Oh, yes, they have to be clipped on all the time.
Because it's quite a dangerous... How does he feel about this? Is he enjoying it?
He's loving the challenge of it. I think it's the challenge more than enjoying it. A lot of it is enjoying, but there must be some horrendous times when you're overcome by emotions and, you know, just fear. There probably is fear as well, I would have thought. Because,
I would have thought there was a lot of fear.
Yeah, yeah.
The sea is... I find the sea frightening.
Yeah.
There was even a casualty, wasn't there?
Yes, there was actually a death on the first week that they were sailed out from London. It was on a different boat to David's, but it was just a pure accident. He was, I think he was 48, this man, and he wasn't doing the whole lot. And he was actually a paramedic for his job. And one of the sails on his yacht broke loose, and there was a rope swinging about. And the ropes are very, very thick. And it actually just hit him on the temple, the side of his head, and knocked him unconscious. And he never regained consciousness. And it was just, you know, if it had hit him on his shoulder, it would have probably been all right. But it just caught him in the wrong place, and I'm afraid he died.
Yes, so, you have to be so alert.
Oh,
haven't you?
Gosh, yeah, yes, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so alert, and so I don't blame him for going to sleep. God, where did he go
well,
to sleep?
Well, yes, David can sleep on a clothesline. And one of the skipper writes a blog nearly every day, and I read it. And she said that it was hard trying to find somewhere to sleep. and the rain had, the waves weren't dashing over the boat, so they said they would just open the sail locker to let a bit of air through. When they opened the sail locker, and what did they find? David fast asleep in the sail locker.
Brilliant. So his next big sleep will be when he gets to Vietnam, then,
yes,
is it?
Yeah. Other than that, whilst they're going at an angle, they have to what they call hot bunk. So there'll be two of them sleeping in the same bunk, not at the same time, because they'll fall out of the other one. So they all have their own sleeping bags and everything. So if David's got up, he will roll his sleeping bag up and unroll whoever's hot bunking in his bunk who's just coming off their watch. So through the night they do 4-hourly watches, and through the day it's 6-hourly. And of course he has to have one day when he's the mother watch, when he's doing all the cooking and the cleaning.
Which you practiced for, like the last time you spoke
to us.
You were teaching him
how to make bread.
Bread mainly.
So I'm hoping that he'll be a new man when he comes back, and he'll say, "Oh, I'll do that. I'll clean the bathroom," but we'll have to wait and see.
I can see pigs flying.
Yeah. Definitely.
Right, so Vietnam, who was sponsoring this particular boat.
Yes, here we come. Yeah. And it looks absolutely beautiful, does Vietnam. I've had a few books given, and it's just the up-and-coming place to go.
Thank you very much indeed, Ava.
You're welcome.
That's smashing. Thank you very much.